Welcome to the Expert Economy Podcast with your host, Naomi Johnson, three times author, LinkedIn guru, profile writer, and founder of the Expert Economy, the place where industry's best thinkers come to glean the tips and wisdom they need to build their business, life, and mindset and create abundance for themselves and the clients they serve. Now, here's your host, Naomi Johnson.
Hello and welcome to episode one of the Expert Economy. Today we are going to be talking about how do you become the only person your prospect wants to work with. Now, I don't think this is necessarily a typical question that people ask, but I think it's definitely one that we all desire to have be true. Because what we don't want is to be competing for clients. We don't want to be going up against three or four people and being evaluated for the features and the benefits that we offer and having our prices slashed in half and becoming what's known as a commodity. We don't want to be wasting our time going after assignments or even having to persuade people that they need us. What we want is our prospects to come to us pre-sold and ready to buy. And what I mean by this is that prospect comes to you with a budget in hand, knowing you, knowing your philosophy, knowing your approach, knowing what you stand for, and they trust you. They trust you to be the person to help them solve their problem, and they have the money in hand. For you, this simply means then having a sales conversation, and that sales conversation is a friendly conversation where you can discover what their problem is. Do they really have the problem that they think, and are you the right person to help? And do you want to help? And this is a really empowering place to be, because as an expert entrepreneur, our businesses are time sensitive. Plus, they're also very sensitive to us because it's our skills, our knowledge, and our expertise that we're putting on the line. And we've left corporate jobs, we've left other jobs to get away from being told what to do each day, to get away from toxic work environments, to get away from difficult clients that are really nasty to you and temperamental and demanding. And we've set it up on our own. We've taken this massive risk to have our own business. And it's really, really important that we make sure that who we work with is somebody that we really want to work with. So making this come about, how do you become the only person your prospect wants to work with, is really, really important, because it's going to cut down the amount of time it takes for you to win a sale and also the quality of that relationship when you're working. As we're time sensitive, we actually need to be billing for 70% of our time. As we're experts in our own industry, we need to be studying to remain an expert in our industry, because things move so quickly. If we're not keeping at the coalface of that industry, we won't be experts anymore. And 10% of our time needs to be moving all the pieces around. So let's really get into this. The best way for me to be able to answer the question, how do you create that? How do you become the only person your prospect wants to work with? How do you get people to come to you pre-sold and ready to buy, knowing that they trust you and are really open to your suggestions and wanting to have that great working relationship with you? And you can walk away knowing you did your best, knowing that you gave a real transformation to their situation, and you've got something to show that proves that you really do know what you're talking about. So in order for me to really get into this, what I'd love for you to do is to get a pen and paper, because I'm going to walk you through a diagram on the psychology of how people buy. And this diagram is something so important to have at hand all the time, because when you get this, you're going to understand the process in your business, where to put your time, how to write your content, where to post your content, and the journey that your prospect will go through, and that will shape your sales conversations as well. So get, if you got a pen and paper handy or a notebook, which is best, please go and get that, because I'm going to walk you through this. Now, if you like what you hear and you like this diagram, I really welcome you to come to my website, www.theexperteconomy.co.uk, and download a copy of my book, The Expert Economy. Within it, you're going to get a colour diagram, a colour graph of this, all nicely done for you. So, and on all the explanation around it as well. So do come and download that. But right now, let's just do it on pen and paper and write notes around it. So just if you want to go and look at that again, it's www.theexperteconomy.co.uk. So on our piece of paper, let's draw a circle. And on this circle, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to mark off the point for 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So just looking at that circle like a clock face, just mark off 10, 12, 4 and 6. And what I'd like you to do at 6 o'clock is write the word sale. And this is the point where you've actually agreed with the client and they've signed the dotted line and they're going to be your client, they're going to work with you. And at 10 o'clock, I want you to write the word complete. Complete is where you sit down with the client, you look at the original outline of the problem, what you said you were going to do, and you say, have we done everything that we said? Have we created the result that we wanted? Or if we didn't create that result, have we done everything in our power to get to that as close to it as possible? Are we happy that the right effort has been put in? The right processes have been taken, that the challenges that came up have been handled correctly, and we are happy with that the investment that you put in has delivered the result that you wanted in the first place. That's when you get to complete. So between sale and complete, 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock, what I'd like you to do is just draw a line going around clockwise from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And in that, I want you to write transformational package. And this is really the thing that's going to make you stand out. Not only would it be an asset in your business, but it would also refine how you go about things on a day-to-day basis. And it will really shorten a lot of your work processes. It'll give you something to build around, and it will cut down the number of proposals that you need to be writing and customizing, which is just so necessary when you are an expert entrepreneur whose business is time sensitive. The other great thing about this transformational package, and again, I go into this a lot more in my book, and there will be future podcasts on this topic. The other thing that's great about the transformational package, that not only is it an asset and a thing you can become known for, but it is also, it stands for a problem that you solve. So it's basically saying, look, here you are in trouble. This is where your position is right now. I'm going to take these steps with you and get you to this point later. So I'm going to take you from where you are now to where you want to get to. And that's a really bold claim. And it's also a bold claim around your expertise that you know how to do that. And you know how to do it, that any obstacles that come up, they may be unexpected obstacles, that you've got the industry experience to know how to deal with those curveballs, how to manipulate a situation so it works. So we're not saying we know everything. We're not saying that we can, it's going to be smooth sailing. What we're saying is we've got the competency and the know-how to deal with anything that comes up, and we will figure it out because we've got enough experience of this. And that transformational package is really, really key because it's something that you can become known for. It's something that you can put your own brand and stamp on. It's something you can say, this is my methodology. Lots of other people have been using it. And get known for that product and its methodology. The other thing about it as well is that in order for you to really stand out in your marketplace is you've got to stand for a problem that you solve. So this is that when people think of that problem, your name comes up. You are the expert at solving that problem, and this is your methodology for how you solve it. So the first point of how do you become the only person your prospect wants to work with is that you develop a product and a methodology that's uniquely yours that you can get known for. And that product and methodology is associated with a problem that you are saying, I am solving this problem. That's what you are known for. You're known for solving this problem. So it could be known for synchronizing data systems to be able to really sort out processes that could take 6 weeks to get the data through, but you come along, bring in this new way of handling databases, and they can get the result within half an hour. It's just a true thing that can happen. Or you're really good at helping people to have very difficult conversations with their staff, and you train them in that so that they can handle themselves and not have so many toxic working relationships and problems. So there's many things that you could actually stand for as a problem that people actually have. And what we need is your name to come up in association with those problems. So that is going to be from sale to 10 o'clock. That is 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, that is a transformational package. That's what you're going to get known for and the problem that you solve. So just going back to this diagram, what I'd like you to do now is just write at 12 o'clock, new lead. And come around then to 4 o'clock and put sales appointment. Now, I know as expert entrepreneurs, we are not trained in selling. We don't want to do selling. We just want to go selling, solving people's problems and creating a meaningful change in the world. And I know that sales can be very intimidating, and I have a lot to share on that and how to make that right for you in future podcasts. But for now, just suck it up. We have to have a sales appointment in order to make a sale. So between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, if you just draw a line clockwise and put in their sales conversation, and there's a really key way of doing this that will really condense it, because we don't want to be having multiple sales conversations, especially not with the same person. And if there are multiple levels of decision makers in an organization, we want to condense that down and do it with some pizzazz and some skill, that we do it really succinct and really quickly. You know, we're not wasting time. We're getting the right people on the call, saying the right things. And again, that kind of conversation you can find out about in my book, and also coming up in future podcasts as well. So how do we get that person onto a sales appointment? Now, if you just want to make a mark at 3 o'clock, this is for profile. Has arrived on your website, on your LinkedIn profile, or heard about you at the point at which they already know they have a problem and are looking for a solution. What this will mean is that they are probably looking at several providers. And when someone's looking at several providers, this means that you will be competing on price and you will be competing on features. And it could very well be that there isn't any kind of trust built up, that when that person gets working with you, that they can really trust you to do a good job, because they just haven't got that grounding with you. So a really good example of this would be a lady who I did a LinkedIn profile review for a number of years ago, and she wrote scripts for TV adverts. And obviously the industry's been changing a lot, and she's now been starting to write scripts for people on YouTube and different things like that, for adverts and short documentary sales things. And what was interesting is that she was saying that some of her clients are really great to work with, and they trust her, and she can just get on with it. She can put all of her expertise and knowledge into these sales scripts. The person takes the sales script and uses it exactly the way it's supposed to be used. And then there are clients who take that sales script and go, oh, no, we'll change this bit, we'll change this bit. And she said, it's really frustrating, because I know why I've written it that way. I know very precisely why, scientifically, psychologically, it needs to be written this way. And then that person changes it, and then they put my name on it. And it's like, but it's not, it doesn't work. It's not the same thing. And she said, and they micromanage. They look over what I'm doing. They want to check things all the time. They're always questioning me, and they're so difficult to work with. And it's really hard. And I don't want clients like that. I want the ones who just take what I'm offering and just trust me that I know what I'm doing. And I think all of us can say, yeah, actually, we want the same thing when we're working with someone. We don't definitely want someone questioning us and undermining the expertise we spent a lifetime developing. So I said to her, I said, okay, so let's look at this clearly. Let's write down all of the clients that you enjoyed working with on one column, and all of the clients you didn't enjoy working with in another column. Now that you've done that, I want you to tell me, where did each of these clients come from? And interestingly enough, all of the clients that she didn't like working with came via Google. And the reason why people who came in from Google were difficult to work with is the very simple reason that there was no trust. When someone comes in via referral, there is a trust that is transferred from the person who originally worked with you and likes you and has met you several times and has good results from you, that trust is transferred to this new person. So when you hear about this person and they got good results for other people, you're more open to them, you're much more trusting, and you're much more likely just to let go and say, well, she knows what she's doing. Whereas when somebody is saying, we need a solution, we've got to invest, I've got £5,000 as a budget, where am I going to put this? And they have to make a decision on three or four people. You can imagine they're going to be very, very nervous about where to invest. And once they have, they're going to be very nervous about whether they made the right decision. And if they are reporting to someone senior to them, they are also going to be, oh my gosh, my job's going to be on the line if this doesn't work out. And very, very nervous. And all of that energy will come into that working relationship and how they manage you and manage the results. And they're going to get involved in a way that can become quite difficult. And maybe you've worked in that kind of relationship before and you've seen it. The real reason why you get difficult clients is because trust is missing. It's really, really key. And so when someone is, you know, coming with a budget and they put the keywords into Google and your website comes up and they make that phone call and they want to know what's your price, what's your features, you know, how do you do it? And then they go on to another call and another call. That's literally the position you're in. There's no trust. And so it's very, very difficult. And that's actually something that's called the red ocean. This is where there's lots of competition. There's lots of people with the same product, with different features, or they just keep on adding features. They start competing on price, so the price that you're charging goes down, and for you, you know, that you're taking your prices down, so now you're not making a good profit. Maybe you're just hitting your hourly rate, but you're not feeling good about it. And it's very cutthroat, and it's called a red ocean either because of the red ink around the losses on the balance sheet that these big companies, when they're in that arena, or the idea of you know, all of the fish in the ocean, like just this real cutthroat, and it could be blood. So you take your analogy, which one you want to choose, but that is the red ocean. And it's really, as an expert entrepreneur, the one we want to avoid, because we don't want to be cutting our prices down, and we don't want to be competing. We don't want to be a commodity, which is what that is. What we need to do is we need to swim out, and we need to swim into the blue ocean. And this is where we create our own clients. So on the diagram, we've got invest. And if you draw an arrow from the right in pointing at the word invest, and just write red ocean, if somebody enters your sphere from invest, that can often be exactly where they are and how they're feeling. Now we know this because they're educated buyers. They know they have a problem and they are looking for a solution. We know this because they've managed to find you based on keywords. And keywords means that prospect knows of their problem, and they also know the solution. They know the solution well enough that they can actually Google it and find a specific supplier. Whereas when you don't know how a problem gets solved, you actually can't use keywords because the buyer just doesn't know those keywords. So it's really great to think, oh yeah, we'll build a website about coaching and then we'll get it layered in for like keywords. And so when everyone puts in coaching in Birmingham, my website comes up. That's an investment and it's an achievement if you do it. But all you're going to be doing there is positioning yourself as a commodity, because the person who's buying already knows that they need a solution and they're looking at the price and the features and the benefits. And again, that trust won't be there. And it's very, very competitive. So coming in from that position, what we need to do is we need to really build up our profile, which is what we wrote between invest and the sales appointment. But more than that, we actually need to swim out. We need to swim out into the blue ocean, and we need to do something completely different. We actually need to go all the way back to the point where somebody is a new lead. Now, for a new lead, this could be that the person knows that they have a problem and are starting to look for a solution. But most of the time, a brand new lead is one that you can see. You know that they need you. You know that their life would be better. But they don't. They are just living with the status quo. They just think this is the way life is. There is no solution. Running a business is difficult. My staff fighting with each other is normal. My turnover of employees per year is an industry standard. This is just the way life is. And so they won't be looking for a solution. They can meet you at a networking event and not even and hear your pitch and not even bat an eyelid, but you're looking at them going, I know that you have this problem and I know that I can solve it for you. Why are you not responding? And it's exactly that. They aren't aware that they have a problem. So that's a new lead. And our job is to create awareness. So what I want you to do is just mark off 1 o'clock on the circle, and I want you to put identify. And this is the point where the person identifies with it and says, oh, that's me. That's what's going on in my world. And in order for that to happen, we need to create awareness. So between 12 and 1, just write, create awareness. And this is where we share content which really talks to the symptoms of the problem. Because what people are aware of is that they have symptoms. They are aware that their staff are fighting and creating a toxic environment. They are aware that their staff are leaving and they've got a high turnover. They are aware that they aren't getting their data quick enough and they can't make good decisions in their business and they're spending a lot of money processing that data every month. They are aware of these things. So when we speak that language, a person goes, oh, okay, that's me. I hear that. At that point, the person is going to start doing some research. They're going to start thinking, well, if that's me, like, what is my problem? What could be going on? And if you just mark off 2 o'clock on the diagram and write diagnose, this is the point which a person diagnoses themselves and says, yes, actually, that is what's going on for me. So between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, just write the word research. And at 2 o'clock, right on the hour there, it's diagnose. And this means that this person has come to the conclusion that they have this problem. Now, they may be right or they may be wrong, and that's what's going to be determined in your sales appointment. But at this point, you've got that person's attention, and they're going to start looking for solutions. Now, if they're really confident they have a problem and they really see that they can't solve it for themselves, they're likely to get in touch with you. However, the modern day, the last 15 years, has really changed things. Maybe less than that, actually. Maybe like 7 to 10 years. What happens now is a person thinks, well, yeah, actually, I think I do have a problem with this. How shall I fix it? And they will start to self-implement. They will find a book to read on the subject. They will look at Google. They will look at YouTube. They will come and take a download and take any kind of tuition. Not just a download that is informative. They'll take a download that it offers to solve a problem. So it's like a mini transformation. And if that person can solve the problem for themselves, cool, great, let them. Because honestly, if the problem isn't big enough in the first place, then you're not going to be able to create the value to make it worthwhile working with them anyway. So, you know, this is a really good way of filtering out people who have a sort of a problem, but not a massive problem. And I'm going to break that down a little bit more for you. So I'll come back to that in a second. But just between diagnose and invest, I want you to write the word self-implementation. And this is the point where somebody gets to they recognize they have a problem and now they're looking for a solution and they realize that their problem is big enough and they can't solve it for themselves and they need to invest in a solution. And so now they've arrived back at that 3 o'clock. And now they're at 3 o'clock and they're ready to invest. They say, who am I going to invest with? So between 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, if you just write the word profile, and this is everything that is about you. So I specialize in LinkedIn profiles. This is a bigger conversation. This is like when I come and Google you, what comes up? Okay, so this is going to be any brochures, websites, reviews, past history on company websites, and your LinkedIn profile will be really prominent in there. I just want to just put a little caveat there. You do not need all of those things. And I'm going to walk you through the stages of the things that you need and when you need them in episode 3. But it is important that everything that comes up does come up about you is consistent and looks professional. So I'll do that in a future episode. And I don't want to intimidate you thinking you need all those things because you absolutely don't. So at this point, the person looks at the profile and says, well, this person's really, really credible. And then there's a call to action and it says, come on this sales appointment. Well, actually, nobody goes on sales appointments, do they? Do you want to come on a sales appointment with me? No, I don't think you do. Would you like me to review your LinkedIn profile for you and give you some real key tips and things that you can take away and do for yourself? Yes. So a sales appointment, and you can get this in the book, The Expert Economy. It really hammers this point home. About a sales appointment, don't call it a sales appointment. It's going to be a diagnostic or a review in some way, an exchange of benefit, where that person can get something, get a diagnosis really on their problem in a lot more detail and know whether your solution is right for them or not. So there's a real exchange, because even if you're offering this conversation for free, you can be sure that for your prospect, it isn't free. It's actually an investment of their time, and it's also an opening up and being vulnerable with their own confidential personal information and trusting you with it. So it's not free for anyone. So we can go into that a lot more another time. But at this point, what we've got is a prospect who's now thinking, yeah, I really need a solution and I want to work with this person. So research has actually proven that if you start your relationship with your prospect right there at 12 o'clock on the top of that diagram, where you bring them to an awareness of the problem they solve, 88% of people that start their journey there with you will buy from you. How cool is that? Now, a little side on that quote. I found that quote in a very nice document online, and I followed the referencing for that because I wanted to know the actual research, and it took me around in a loop, and I couldn't find any scientific research in that. But I just want to put that out there as a disclaimer, because I think it's important to have authenticity in the content I'm sharing. But I think that when we check in with ourselves and we look at how we buy from people, we can see that that might very well be true. That when someone's brought us to an awareness of the problem, we create a loyalty to that person. We have a trust in that person. We want to take them on because we like their methodology. We like their approach. We like what they stand for. And we trust how they're going to do things. And it's a very, very different from when you build that relationship with somebody and then you go to another supplier and say, I want this. Can you give me this, what this other person does? And actually you don't know that they hold the same philosophy. You don't know that they're going to take the same approach. You actually don't know much about them at all. And then you become that client. It's like, oh, can they give me what I wanted? I spent all this time with this other person and they brought me to an awareness of it, and I trust their approach and I know these details and I know these strategies. Do you know these strategies? And they're like, yeah, of course I do. But do you? Really? So that's where we want to get to. We want to get to the point where we are swimming out to that blue ocean. We are creating our own clients and we're building that loyalty where they won't go to anybody else but us. And they're coming to us pre-sold and ready to buy. And it's not saying that we don't want them to go and work with our competitors. Maybe we do. Maybe they're a better fit. And we should be completely open to that this person, this company with a problem needs to find the right supplier for them. So on your diagram now, you've pretty much filled in every section on there. We've just got between complete and new lead. So in that space, what I'd like you to do is just write the word evidence. And this is where you collect your testimonials, you collect case studies, and you write things up for your portfolio on the things that you did. And what's really interesting, when you do this properly, and we'll do a future podcast on testimonials and how to write them, you can actually set the stage that you're educating within that testimonial. So it's not, oh, Bob did a nice job, he's a really nice person, and like we really enjoyed working with him and he got us results. It's more, before I met Bob, I was in this situation struggling with these problems, symptom, create awareness, okay? And Bob came in and using his methodology, planting in your methodology again, and took us through these steps. So now we're educating on that transformational product. We were able to achieve these results. Oh my gosh, it is possible that there is a solution for the problem that I'm experiencing. So that's how you actually would start writing a testimonial. So in order to stand out and become the only person your prospect wants to work with, we need to stand for a very particular problem that we solve. And we want to get known for that. We need a particular product and methodology that we are building. And as an aside, I just want to say here, that is an asset that you are building in your business. And it's going to not only increase the value of your business, but it's also going to make managing and running your business much easier as well. We can talk about that another time. We're then going to gather evidence to prove that we can actually deliver results. Kind of stories and examples that people can remember and they can pitch and say for themselves. So I meet somebody at a networking event and they go, I have a problem with my data and it's taking us 6 weeks to get this sorted. And I say, well, I know this really nice person called Simon and it's actually his job to do that. And he actually recently took a major corporation from spending 6 weeks trying to process information and three members of staff, 6 weeks it took them. He came in, moved all the data databases around, manipulated the data differently, and he got it down to 30 minutes. Oh, wow, really? Wow, I must speak to this person. Now that prospect is loaded with a really practical example that they can go, yeah, I really need to speak to this Simon. He could really help me. Now, that is an amazing thing to have your network able to tell stories like that on your behalf and cultivate a prospect like that for you. So that's why we want to be really good with our testimonials and the evidence, mixing the results we got for people with education as to the symptoms and the why and the results. The next thing we want to do is really build this trust. And this trust comes through people having an experience of you. Now, I mentioned before about self-implementation, that when a person becomes aware that they have a problem and they're looking for a solution, they want to get on with it themselves. If they can solve the problem for themselves, let them get on with it. Because we only want to work on high-paying projects that really are very satisfying. They use all of our skills and they stretch us and they keep us at the coalface of the industry and really doing a great job. Now, if somebody comes along and they've got a very small problem and they can do it, they could do it for themselves and you charge them a lot of money, what's that going to do for your reputation in the marketplace? People are going to start thinking, oh, he's quite expensive. Oh, I think that was a bit of a waste of money, actually. And they won't recommend you and they won't tell other people about you. They'll just be like, maybe. So what would happen if you actually gave that for people who have very small problems that really didn't need to invest in working one-on-one with you? What if you gave them solutions and educational pieces that actually helped them solve it for themselves? They could take a download that offers a small transformation and they could start applying it themselves and they get a result. That would be really cool. And here is why. Because when somebody has a result, they are more likely to mention your name to somebody else. So people who have problems tend to gather together and share those problems and go, oh, that happened to me. Let me tell you how I fixed it. And imagine if that happened. Let me tell you how I fixed it. I did this, 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 and this. And now they're educating and they're passing your knowledge on, but not in a way that someone could actually really do it. Said, yeah, well, I got the best thing I recommend is go to this person's website, take the download, or go Google this person, find them on YouTube and start following their videos because they will tell you how to do it. And the person's like, yeah, okay, cool. So now not only has somebody said, yeah, I had that problem, there is a solution, this is how you fix it, and this person's really trustworthy and I've done it myself, why don't you go to their website? Now you've got trust passing over. Now you've got someone who actually has a relationship with you and you probably never met this person. You probably don't even know that their name's on your database or that they come to your website, but they're out there advocating for you and telling other people about you because you solved a problem for them. You helped them out. And it may be that the new person they're speaking to just passes that goes and they use the free information, that's all they need. But at some point, one of those people are going to look at it and they're going to go, whoa, I cannot do this for myself. I'm going to need some help. And they're going to come through and they're going to book that sales appointment with you. So creating awareness by providing that help and support, being somebody's trusted advisor, showing your credibility, allowing people to have that exposure to you. And this is actually something known as zero moment of truth. Which is research that Google has been able to do because they have so much data on how people buy. because they can literally track how you're progressing through to the point of buying. They have determined that in order for someone to buy from you, they need to spend 7 hours with you, have 11 touch points, and see you in four different locations. So that 7 hours is reading your book, reading your download, watching videos, listening to a podcast. The 11 touch points would be website, newsletter, email, YouTube. Those would be locations, actually. But it's the number of times in those locations they have 11 touch points from you. So it could be like five of those would be five emails from your newsletter, for example. Or they watched three YouTube videos, or they saw five status updates from your LinkedIn. That makes up your 11. And then I did actually just slip into telling you the locations there. So, and that could be the meet you face-to-face, see you online, and that would be two. And so that, you know, there's some real science in that, that if when someone has that level of exposure to you, they are more likely to buy. And this creating content that really supports people to solve their own problems and diagnose themselves as needing to invest in a solution is the perfect thing to do. Now, that can sound time consuming, so don't just go thinking we need to pause everything and go do that. And there are stages to this. And again, do check out my book for understanding the stages and when and how you develop that over the course of time. Because one thing you'll come to know about me is it's not about putting marketing in for marketing's sake. It is about winning the client and doing excellent work for that client. So that's going to be really, really important, is that giving that help and support and building that level of trust and awareness of you that you're not competing on price. The next thing is to make sure that you have a clean and professional profile. And that is, like I said, everything that comes up about you when you Google. I believe that the very first thing you need in this space is a LinkedIn profile, because that is like putting up a market stall in a superhighway. When somebody comes and looks, what are they going to find out about you? How can they get involved and hear your voice and feel like they've met you? LinkedIn is the perfect way to do this. And never forget the decision makers that surround your prospect as well, which could be the parents, the children, colleagues that are going, well, who is this person? Why are you investing this money with them? I've got a mate that does this too. Your profile needs to this very professional look and feel. And in a future episode, I will go through the psychology of the LinkedIn profile and how you apply all of this buying journey to your profile. It's what I've actually been doing for the last 7 years. And then, like I said, we want to create content that creates awareness, because with social media the way it is now, we've never had this before. We have everybody together in this marketplace, this super highway of information, and nobody is coming to look for you today. Most of your prospects, they don't even know they have a problem. So how are they going to notice you? When you create awareness, they're going to go, oh, I have that problem. They're going to see a headline for an article about my employees are really shy and I don't know how to bring them out of themselves. Yeah, I have a shy person. How do I bring this person out of themselves? And I click on it. So we're going to talk about the symptoms of the problem, and we're going to get known for that problem by educating the people about this problem. And we are going to be that first person to be bringing them to this awareness, and we are going to have that 88% chance that that person is going to work for us, want to work with us. And the other thing is we're going to structure our sales conversations in a very particular way that adds value, so we can get known for that value add. And when we do this as an expert entrepreneur, just so you know, and just for time's sake, I'm not going to go into this a great deal, but really we want to be pricing our products at just the right level that we only need to take on 2 new clients per month. With those 2 new clients, though, we do want to be having 10 sales appointments per month. And it might seem like a really quite low conversion there. And you can change that and vary that as you get going. But if you want to build your pipeline, 10 is a really good number. And the reason is because that is that's 10 people that you are talking to in your industry that you are getting to know. You're getting to know the problems of that industry. You're becoming an expert in your industry problems. And when you add value in the right way, you build trust, you educate people on what you do and how you do it. And then those 8 people who don't buy from you, either because the timing isn't right, they don't have the authority to buy, they don't have the budget, or the need is that actually correct, they haven't diagnosed their problem correct, What you've done is you've now created 8 raving fans that are going to go into your network and start doing that talking on your behalf and sharing knowledge and content on your behalf. So all of these ways, they all go together towards positioning you as the go-to expert in your industry, so prospects come to you pre-sold and ready to buy. It's how you become the only person your prospect wants to work with, because they trust you and they like your approach and they understand how you go about doing things. So what I want to leave you there with is just those thoughts, those things to take forward. Our businesses really are time sensitive, and who we choose to work with is fundamental to our mental health and our ability to put into building this business the energy that it's going to require. So I really hope that you've enjoyed this episode and you'll join me for episode 2, where I will be talking about how to get advice savvy, how to learn the advice to listen to and what to run from. So again, thank you for being here. I really invite you to come and learn more about these concepts and to see this diagram in its full colourful beauty in my book. Please come to www.theexperteconomy.co.uk, and in there you will find the foundation for a lot of things I've only been able to hint at in this conversation. And you'll also be able to pre-register for an upcoming course which really walks you through each of the stages of the step-by-step of how do you quickly establish your business and get paid for the value that you create. So I hope you've enjoyed, and I'll see you next time.